This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me to discuss the game ahead, the first of the Premier League season at 2022-23, Mr. Chris
Hello.
Budd, welcome back.
How are you?
Invigorated by our beach volleyball experience this week.
Fantastic. Nothing says beach volleyball like a nice brownfield site in Birmingham and a conga.
New brownfield site. It's the new beach mecca of the city.
Ah, yes, of course. I should have known.
But no, cynicism. I detect cynicism. That is the most purest form of joy.
It was really good.
Do you know
what?
It was
good fun. It was really good crack.
Yes, I led you to a paradise that perhaps you didn't know existed before.
And who knew Gambia was so good at beach volleyball?
Yeah, that 7 foot chap was electrifying. If you listen to this and you can still grab a ticket for the finals, then it's well worth doing.
It's a fun sport to watch.
If you're planning ahead to Paris 2024, just go for the beach volleyball. The last time I went, I was a very young man in Sydney, and I went to the Olympics version, and it's been 22 years since I last sampled it. That's how much one dose of beach volleyball will keep you going for. So happy days ahead for us. I hope everybody out there if you're in Birmingham, are enjoying the Commonwealth Games. It's definitely
been buzzy around the city,
giving you the kind of buzz to propel you into a new Premier League season. So without further ado, this is something for the weekend. If you are new to the podcast, this is where we just preview the game ahead. So it's short, sharp and snappy. And we like to start the show off with a Villa Minute. Normally, if you've been following the show, you know that we get watch sponsors for this show because we need a watch to time the Villa Minute, and we need a new one every week because we always sell the old one on eBay just to keep the show going. So who have we got in to power the Villa Minute this week?
Well, it was perfect timing because seeing as though Chelsea are throwing money around on silly things, we've actually received a pair of Hublot Bigger Bangs as part of the Carney deal. Hublot, of course, have been Chelsea's watch supplier since 2015. So
that's why the deal dragged on. It was just the major part of the deal was actually us getting those two watches. So that dragged on for at least a couple of months. I mean, that deal would have been signed, sealed and delivered a long time ago. Anyway,
it was all over a timepiece. Yeah, 20 million for a player plus two of only 84 special limited edition integrated King's Gold watches worth a cool 37 grand each. Thanks, Chelsea. Great deal for everyone.
Well, I'll let you get on with the Villa Minute while I put these up, list them on eBay. Let's go.
Villa's course summer business was all but done in the first couple of weeks of the transfer window, with the permanent move for Philippe Coutinho confirmed. Villa then secured hopefully two upgrades in Boubacar Kamara from Marseille and Diego Carlos from Sevilla. Also, Robin Olsen secured a permanent deal, Ashley Young re-signed, and left-back Ludwig Augustinsson joined too. Matt Target, Trezeguet, Conor Horan and Kalinic all ended their time at the club, with Wesley also out the door on a season-long loan to Levante. After the annual win at Bescot over Warsaw, Villa travelled down under for a pre-season tour with wins over Leeds and Brisbane Roar, and an entertaining 2-2 draw against Man United to show for their trip to was. Leon Bailey was probably the major plus, finally coming back to the party with a clean bill of health. John McGinn was named captain by Gerrard after Mings was exiled from armband duty, with Emi Martinez, Diego Carlos sharing the vice captaincy and Ashley Young given a club captaincy role. Villa beat French outfit Rennes 2-1 to round off an unbeaten pre-season. The Chuck Moweka saga came to end with the hyped youngster joining his supposed boyhood club of Chelsea in a staggering deal which saw Villa reportedly cash in up to $20 million.
Ka-ching!
Bravo, Captain Perslow. The season curtain raiser sees Villa travel to Bournemouth. The previous time opening the season there resulted in a brilliant season, didn't it? 2022-23 is upon
us. It's just set up this season. It was the long game. It's just set up this season. Looking forward to it, are you, Bert?
I am.
I think this is it. This is where the Gerrard revolution begins in earnest.
We put the pedal on the gas. We go into warp speed.
I'm crossing my fingers as I say this, but... Hey ho, let's go. Gerrard did his first pre-game press conference of the season, going through generally what's happened over the summer. He laid down the law on the Carney situation. He said, we needed to set a precedent that no one is as big as the club or the academy. If someone isn't committed or prepared to commit to the club, supporters and the journey, then we have to give them the opportunity to go somewhere else.
Ouch.
I think this is an interesting one, apart from the fact that everybody seems to be very knowledgeable on Carney, and Chelsea fans and Villa fans seem to have gained such insight that he's potentially going to be a £100 million player just from two starts at Villa and a few minutes coming off the bench. Because I don't think Chelsea fans who are saying this is a great, great deal, we're buying the future, have been watching him much. And then you get like national journalists pretending to be authorities by saying, oh yeah, I watched him regularly in the the Euro.
He knocked one in off his knee in the final.
It's like everybody's posturing themselves as experts. You know, from my point of view, I'd seen enough in the games to suggest he wasn't all that in terms of, I never expected to get 15 to 20 million, you know, however much it is. And that is a big surprise. And it's a big high fives all around in terms of Villa.
Villa playing the hype game again, superbly.
And, you know, he hasn't done what Jude Bellingham's done. He hasn't done what Michael Owen's done or Gerrard and when he was a player. Like, you and Wayne Rooney, like that age where you go, oh, he's a player. I mean, I remember seeing Michael Owen when he's like 17.
I remember seeing Rooney in the Youth Cup. He was built like a tank.
Yeah, and, you know, Owen scoring a goal when he came on, and you think, oh, shit, he's going to be somebody because he was so fast and the finish was deadly. I think it was a very similar finish to the one he scored for England against Argentina. And you know that, yeah, that's like gold there. I don't think Carney's given that. I mean, Carney's, I think, physically developed quicker at his age group, so that's given him an advantage at that point. But you know, if there was any position in the Villa team that there was a pathway, it was at the Villa midfield. That's why Ramsey's managed to seize it. And so in terms of first team football, you know, Villa was a decent place. And if he was the man, then it would have been a perfect scenario to be in, because if he was that good, he should be kicking on next season, because there is actually an opportunity there.
Which is kind of what Gerrard had alluded to. There is a pathway. We've done everything we can. We've pacified you by bringing your brother in.
I mean, 10 out of 10 for his agents and his team for bagging him a deal. He's no doubt has made him very rich, and convincing Chelsea that he's the man. Well done to Villa, 10 out of 10 for getting a fee, because the academy at this stage... they're in this precarious position where they are spending big on the top level of player around like the age of 15, 16. The ones that haven't been hoovered up by the likes of Chelsea and Manchester City, who have basically farms, don't they, for talent. So they get the next level in and they pay, you know, good money from like $500,000, $700,000 upwards. So they're going to expect a time, if any of these players do get hyped or become big shots, that they will be fancying themselves to move on. And it's not like a Ramsey or a Grealish who have come all the way through. So they actually have an in-burning desire to play for the club at first team level. These players that come in as top prospects but have actually been bought in from your West Broms or, you know, from wherever, if it gets to this stage where they're 18, 19 and have got a year left, they may start fancying themselves to be looking somewhere else. So I don't think this is going to be a isolated incident in the next three or four seasons.
You've seen it with other clubs, haven't you? You saw Sancho not seeing a pathway at Man City and he went to Dortmund, yeah. Etc. You know, it's happened. Teams miss out. You know, Pogba at Man United is probably a really good example with having called Carney the Poundland Pogba. It's a very similar thing with a lot of these deals. Sometimes you just you know, it's not quite a fit at that point. And at this point in time, Villa and Carney's just not going to work. If he thinks he should be playing, Gerrard knows he shouldn't. Off you trot. And good luck to him.
In the future, the academy, this concentration on the academy is a two-pronged attack. It's to create talent for Villa, but at the same time, it's to make money as well. It's to get these players going off to the bigger top echelons of European football rather than just being put out to pasture in like the Irish League or the Scottish League or whatever. So you're actually making money from your academy. So some will go that way. So don't get sentimentally attached. And, you know, there's some fans are kind of crazy when you look at some of their responses to this. I mean, the response for me, nailed down in one sentence, is, you know, 15, 20 million. Thank you very much.
Agreed. Thanks for the money. And it's all profit, pretty much.
Well, it costs about 400,000 from Northampton, I think. So moving on to what else was said, explained the Tyrone Mings situation. Well, he did and he didn't he? He basically, Gerrard said he sat down with him and, you know, they've had words. I mean, as Gerrard says there, I gave him my reasons and some of those will remain private. I think that's fair. So do you want to second guess what that was?
You would maybe wonder on his form last season.
Yeah.
If, you know, if you're making errors every game and you're the captain, you are not leading by a footballing example. I don't think anybody doubts Mings as a person. We already like him, really stand-up chap, yeah, etc. But you need more on the pitch. Yeah. And he's probably thinking, actually, McGinn maybe has that upside that the armband might give him the extra gear that can push the team on. I think we discussed that in the last show. That's probably Gerrard's plan.
And the last show, a lot of it was centred around in Australia, Gerrard, when he was doing his in-house interview, actually said, and this is kind of quite rare, that he would come out and say, yeah, we're looking at another midfielder. And you're thinking, well, the only position that could be is that number eight to be your central midfielder, you know, the position that Morgan Sanson should have really been when we got him. Mm-hmm. Then to make McGinn captain, you're thinking, well, that means that McGinn must start. And if you were getting in another midfielder, actually McGinn's position was, let's say, not 100%. Right. Not 100%, because if you got Kamara and a new guy in there, then, you know, McGinn, either you're playing a three in there and McGinn would, you know, play as one of those, or you'd have to play him in one of the more attacking roles out on the left. But then you're looking at the talent we've actually got up there, you know, Buendia, Coutinho, Bailey, and you're struggling to find a place that he'd 100% fit in. So the fact that McGinn has been made captain, then you're thinking, oh, maybe the solution for Gerrard is actually, let's try to level up McGinn and get him consistent, because we, you know, we've always said on this podcast, if he's consistent and a bit more discipline in where he's going, and, you know, not to get drawn in and pulled out of position that's cost us on the counter a few times, then you would get a leveled up McGinn. And I think McGinn can be that kind of 8 out of 10 player every week, and that would solve a lot of problems. And, you know, from a sentimental point of view, that's probably the ideal situation for Villa fans, because
everyone loves him.
You would want McGinn to be the man to solve the midfield dilemma.
Absolutely.
So Visha.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I'll see. Gerrard also bigged up in the pre-match press conference Boubacar Kamara. Positionally, he knows where to be. He's clever, he's intelligent, and I think he'll improve us. As a coach, you need people that make the right decisions on the pitch, and this is pretty much the antithesis of what we said to McGinn.
Yeah.
About McGinn not positionally sometimes in the defensive side of things. But Kamara, you notice that he's one of those players that you see reading the game as it transpires. I think you could say that based on the preseason about Carlos as well, to a certain extent. You notice it's a cooler head. It's the exact opposite of, let's say, Nathan Baker, who would be making these miraculous last minute challenges or throwing himself into danger and was injured so many times because essentially he wasn't reading the game and he was having to over overcompensate.
And Mings did a lot of times. I mean, some of Mings's, you know, recovery work was incredible, but you'd rather he just read, you know, you never used to see that much from Paul McGrath. He was just in the right position.
No, exactly. And I mean, you know, Mings was playing perhaps what like Sean Teal used to do for McGrath. He would meet the danger, and then if that wasn't blunted at that point, then McGrath would clean up after him. But to Mings's credit, he does a lot of cleaning up, but it is that last ditch thing when the rest of the defence stroke midfield have kind of failed.
Yep.
But we shall see how that plays out. I mean, Mings is, he played for England 18 times, 16 clean sheets, admittedly, you know, some games against San Marino, whatever, but he played the group stages in the Euros, so he's no schmuck. It's if he does focus on his game, then
maybe he just needs a little reset.
A good Mings who doesn't make mistakes is a defender that will help us get into those top eight places for sure.
And Gerard sort of suggested that it's, you know, the general atmosphere and the camaraderie around the place is feeling good and positive, and just having a sort of a more low key pre-season. You know, last year, of course, this time last year was just a shambles, wasn't it? I think having a we did our business early, everything feels quite calm. Almost, I think the Villa fans were probably overreacting to the Carney thing because they were like, "Geez, we're not used to not having a crisis going on."
In terms of injuries, which is normally the main focus on these press conferences, it's more about niggles, wasn't it? As he said,
Buendia and Mings missed the Wren game, didn't they, with little knocks.
Did Chambers as well?
Yeah, Chambers was ill.
Right, because who played centre back against Fulham? Because there was a game the night before. Because everybody assumed that it was Mings and Chambers, but
Feeney
shrouded in mystery. Anyways, in terms of Bournemouth, any thoughts of them? We were kind of tipping them, I think, in the members extra show, which is about to be put out, that Bournemouth, it was probably your first pick for relegation season.
You look at sort of Forest, who've rolled the dice a little bit. Fulham, who ran away with the league, have got a few guys who you think, they might better get the job done. Bournemouth haven't bought particularly well. You don't look at them and go, they're going to give it a really good go. There's a little bit of talk in the press that they're basically just sleepwalking into the season, a bit like how Norwich have done in previous years.
Yeah. Because there is a lot of, there's a chance here to, like, if you're a yo-yo team like this, it's like, well, if you do roll the dice and you fail, you're hamstringing, you're hamstrung financially for the next season when you're relegated and you've got all these players on big contracts and you're not helping the situation. So there is there's a method in the madness of not going crazy, backing, if you think you've got a team, like a proper team, and normally a team is more than the sum of its parts. If you survive, then that's when you roll the dice a bit more in terms of opening the purse strings. So I can see that, but it's hard to do that. I mean, the thing about Forest is they proved themselves at home, especially in the cups where they beat Premier League teams.
Yeah, it was a bit Leicester, Arsenal. It wasn't like they were beating relegation fodder. They were beating teams in the sort of top half of the table because they're
fancying themselves big time. They've also, I was listening to an interview with their chairman, and they're going to redevelop the Peter Taylor stand because they know, I think the capacity is around 30,000 now for the City Ground, but they know for certain games, the big games, they can get 40, 50,000 in. So there's a real upturn in interest there. I mean, I know a lot of Forest fans, and I got them into the old Wembley for the playoffs. But they're a team it's a bit like Villa, where you're thinking, "Well, enough messing around. We've got a bit of tradition. We have legacy. Let's stop messing around and go in the right direction." And so they've spent big. They backed the manager because he did numbers on Premier League teams last season. And you can see there's a plan there to stay in the Premier League. And I think behind the scenes, they'll just be glad to do what Villa did, really, when they came up, spent a load of money on new players and then just stayed up, which is the bottom line.
I think so. And I think with them, it's the thing of a bit like Villa, where they had a lot of guys who were on loan last year. So, of course, you've some of them like Spence, who was the fullback who was tearing it up. He's gone to Tottenham now. They've had to kind of replace by going out and buying them. We shall see if the deal for Jesse Lingard proves to be. That could go one of two ways, couldn't it? It could turn out to be a really savvy move for a year. Could turn out to
be an absolute
disaster.
Would be inspired. Anyway, we're talking about Forest too much.
Yeah. Whereas Bournemouth, they just haven't made that sort of statement move for anyone, have they? It's a much more understated.
Bournemouth kept 21 clean sheets last season admittedly it's an easier league, but still that might be why they're backing them, because the defensive unit's reasonably sound. But I don't know, Eddie Howe was a big reason why Bournemouth managed to get traction in the Premier League.
And Scotty Parker's already come out and said quite publicly, hasn't he, that they're not particularly well equipped coming into this.
Yeah.
Very similar to when he was at Fulham.
So is he just trying to do the old reverse psychology and play down expectations?
Maybe.
Or is that a cry for help?
Probably. Maybe a bit of both.
What's the key stats on this game? Well, the key stat is the last time, I'm joking, but the last time we played them, first game of the season away from home, we won and then got relegated. But that's not going to happen again, is it? Is it, Chris Bird?
No, it is not.
Promise us, Chris Bird.
I am promising you. It's because we're not wearing a yellow kit.
Yeah, but isn't there going to be a black and yellow third kit? They may spring as on the release of on the first
day
of the season.
I think we'll be in baby blue.
I hope so.
Interesting, actually. I didn't realise this, but Dominic Solanke, obviously the ex-Liverpool lad who we were linked with on a few occasions, he actually scored 29 goals last season, which was the highest scoring English player in the top four tiers. So you think they've got someone who can score goals if given service. But I do think you've got to be going there looking to stamp your authority.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you go back to when they were in the Premier League before they dropped, they'd won three of their last 13 Premier League games. And that's something the fans will remember, those poor results. So they've got to shake that psychology. They'll need to string a couple of wins together in their first, six or seven games there. But I think Villa have got a really... While we might not be at the races and fluid in what we're doing going forward, we suggested we're good enough to get results now by not being... pre-season, yeah. That was my kind of main takeaway. Although we weren't like on our A game, we were getting results, and the demeanour of a team, that's always a good sign. Because, you know, in the preseason, finding your way, you can lose games, and that's no big deal because you can hit the ground running. It doesn't really have a bearing on that. But just to have that in your DNA might be something that Gerrard's trying to get in there, because that's where we fell down. Games that we should be, on an off day, getting a draw from. And there was plenty of those. You could throw away a 2-0 lead against Wolves with 10 minutes to go and draw, and that's an off day. But to get beat, there's something fundamentally wrong there. Yeah. And the same with the Manchester City game. 2-0 up, and we threw it away, 2-2. You think, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Dropping 6 points against Watford is dreadful.
Yeah, so if you're going to read between the lines of what happened in the actual results and the games of those pre-season games, that's my main takeaway, is like we were getting results. And even that Manchester United game, terrible in the first half, and you were thinking, oh shit, nothing's really changed here. But just to dig it out, you know, whatever the mitigating circumstances, you know, wholesale change, substitutions, blah blah blah, the fact that it was in your DNA to dig out that result, that was a major plus.
I'd agree. That's going to be one of the big things for this. It's probably going to be one of the big threads of the season, isn't it?
Yeah. New for something for the weekend this season, we're going to bring back something which was very much part of a tradition in football, is the when games were like called off, mainly through winter times, when there wasn't these like hybrid pitches or whatever, and
undersoil heating and all that.
Yeah, bad winters would call games off. You used to have the Pulse panel results, so you'd be listening, watching BBC Final Score or whatever, and there'd be a game that was called off. They'd say Pulse panel result, and they would say like Bournemouth versus Aston Villa, away win. Or it'd be home win, or score draw, or no score draw. And that was essentially so the Pulse coupons could still go on. So every game, instead of giving you predictions, you know, scores, because they mean nothing, really. I mean, people on social media giving predictions doesn't really matter, does it? But we'll play the game far enough to give you a Pulse panel result on every game. Interestingly enough, the Pulse panel actually carried on during that COVID lockdown period, when there was 3 months off. And the panel of three ex-players actually continued the call-outs, and if the results had gone to the Pulse panel result, Liverpool would have won the league. I think of the 9 games that were Pulse panel, they would have won 8 out of those 9. They'd have won the league with 107 points, and Manchester City would have come second. Meanwhile, Aston Villa would have been relegated. Ooh. So thank God it didn't go down to Pulse panel result. Thank God we could rely on the trusty boot of Trezeguet. But anyway, let's do this. Mom's Pulse panel result. Bournemouth versus Aston Villa. What are you going for?
Away win.
Yeah, I'll double that up with Bournemouth versus Aston Villa. Away win. Before we go, I just want to say thanks to all the My Old Man Said members who are with us at the start of the season, this is a good time to join as a My Old Man said member, because it's the start of the season, it's the start of the month. So the billing cycle is always the first couple of days of the month, so you are right there to get max value out of the month. This season we will be introducing ad-free versions of the podcast, so every show, including this one, you can get on the My Old Man said member members only podcast channel, along with the weekly extra show After Hours, which basically runs after the main show and is connected to that. And then there's our ad hoc shows throughout the month as well. So we are upping the volume and making sure that there's always a weekly extra show. Also, as well as getting access to Match Club 24/7, where we have meetups virtually for away games and the occasional in the flesh meetup before home games, there is also this time a cash prize for the members only Fantasy Premier League. And that's there's also another prize which will be announced shortly, but there will be a cash prize. And to keep it intriguing, the prize will be how many points Aston Villa achieve at the end of the season times two. So when they storm to glory and win the league by getting over 100 points, that'll be over £200. Or if they get relegated with 20 points, so £40. But I would imagine, they've got to get about 55, 60 points, surely. Surely, bud, surely.
Plus a cup run.
So please do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the members link if you're on a mobile. It'll be those three bars in the top left corner will bring up a menu. So please do go there for more details and to join us for the season ahead. And don't forget to follow My Old Man Said on all social media channels at My Old Man Said. And follow the show on whatever podcast app that you listen to the show on. Right, I've got more Commonwealth Games action to go to, so see you later.
See you in a bit.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.